call to order. Compliance with the open meeting law?
Well, pretty much. I did a late agenda, which isn't really good, but if there's good cause, I could do it, and I decided there was good cause. Did you get my email on that?
Okay.
We did notify the papers of the late.
You were that late, right?
Huh? We weren't terribly late, but we were kind of late.
Noonish?
Mm, a little later than that. I sent it to Dave Timmerman. I sent it to the paper. He didn't respond. So we had gone back and forth with Joyce on whether we needed to have it on the agenda for this month, and it ended up being yes, and then it got to be really busy, and I forgot to tell Courtney to put it on. So I apologize for that, but we did get it. So.
Okay. Approval of the agenda.
We do need a motion.
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
All right.
And then you just need Paul and
Faye. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. Not a problem. I've been doing this a while, so
no problem.
It's always different when you're actually the one in charge.
This is the first time I've ever run an open meeting.
Yeah, not a problem.
Let's see. Public comment, commentation,
approval.
Communication.
Approval minutes.
Oh, I missed it. Approval minutes from November.
May I question something?
Yeah.
Scott, next meeting's December 20th of 2017. We had already agreed that we wouldn't have the meeting. Does that make a difference to the agenda or
probably
or
should
the minutes or
take it off?
And if with that, I would
make
move
a note
that we accept the agenda or the minutes.
Updated.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. My apologies. There we go. All right. Now, public comment. We have to worry about that.
I don't think I have much. The building is progressing, as you can see. It looks pretty good. We're attending construction meetings like every other week, so they're keeping us kind of in the loop.
10 o'clock today.
Oh, how's that?
Huh?
10 o'clock today.
I know. I've also got a 10 o'clock conference call for GWAR, so everything was today. They've been going well. I mean, I think, you know, obviously they don't discuss, you know, everything with us, but it's kind
of
keeps us
really
in the key meeting was interesting. I don't know a lot about keying, I found out, but it's interesting how they're doing it. So I took some notes if you want to know what happened. So
yeah, I didn't get there until after you and Fred were gone.
Yeah. So they just went through. They went through everybody's offices to determine what needed a master, what did not, where it went. They will have, dispatch will handle most of it in the sheriff. I think a grand master will be in the dispatch office if anything would happen. So not everybody will have that grand master, so we'll be limiting. Because obviously with the sheriff's department and jail in there, it'll be a little bit different. But I thought it went well. So what else was I going to say about that?
How's IT stuff going?
I think is going okay. Tony from the sheriff's department, who handles a lot of their IT stuff or knows quite a bit about it, has attended a lot of trainings, is going to take the lead until we can get an IT director hired. So we'll
he
be.
He may take the lead.
What's that?
He may just take the lead.
Yeah. Well,
we had a gathering Friday afternoon.
Okay.
At the IT department with the contracted service. We're going to use a contractor out of Green Bay. I don't know if you know him, CCCP.
I've heard of him. I don't know him, though.
Lori came down, and she seemed pretty knowledgeable about what we needed to do. So
good.
We've got it all laid out in different sections. And
good.
We want to get more aggressive.
Some basic architecture in place. And
yeah, Jeff said that they could do it in 6 weeks, and they probably can, but as Lori knows and anybody else that's been a part of this building, we've made small changes throughout the whole process, so we need to make sure and get a hold of
Mead
and Hunt people that help design the layout and run all the cabling to make sure that everything is what we want and all the racks are there.
Yeah, everything's punched on properly, switched properly.
Yeah. Because we're responsible for the switching and the networks and the phone lines. And so we need to put all that together because we're going to go to voiceover.
Do you want
to
get out of the sun?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Feels good.
and we were, both Fred and I were very happy with Tony taking the lead on that.
Tony just got back from FBI training and part of it. He took two different courses on cybersecurity. So.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
he's very well versed
in today's world. So.
Yep.
And he's easy to work with.
Once upon a time, I was a white hat, ethical hacker. Once upon a time, years ago.
He told a story that I don't want to repeat of what they did in this class.
Mm-hmm.
They hacked into a very
secure,
supposedly secure.
All you got to do is find a vulnerability.
Yeah. So he's right. He's really on top of that. So we're in good shape. I think now, over the next month or two, we'll get them down here a few times and make sure that we're heading in the right direction.
Awesome.
So when you come up front, if you see, if you're looking at the building this way, obviously social services and ADRC is here. So the smaller front portion is ADRC offices, and then the longer portion that comes back this way is social services. So you can kind of get a feel for it when you're looking
at it. The tallest part of the building there in the middle is basically the entryway.
The entryway.
Because there'd be a clear sky.
The jail parts off of
it. Yeah.
The jail parts in there.
Yeah, I know that.
Is it going to be a two-story?
We don't consider it two-story, but you call it a mezzanine area. There is a closed area on the other side of the jail pod and on this side for HVAC controls and electrical. Mm-hmm. And part of the cells will be two-story as well.
Right.
There's some individual cells that are top
and
bottom.
And the corridor coming in looks tall because it will have some glass up so that we can get some natural light into the building.
Services and ADRC.
Emergency management.
On this side, and then emergency management will be kind of tucked in the middle between all the sheriff's department's offices and the jail.
Okay.
The tallest part, the stand-up walls that are out there, that is all the jail body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everything that's inside of that to the east is jail.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have?
I do not have any more. I guess the other public comment I would have would be from Platteville, and that's in my report, so you can look at it in there.
All right. The advocacy reports for activities, ADRC Regional Board meeting report.
That was way back when.
That was December.
December in Darlington?
3rd, 4th, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Seems like forever ago.
It does. They had it at the library?
Bank.
At the bank. Mm-hmm.
Bank. I got there late. I remember now.
They had a focus group to get public input on unmet needs.
Yep. Yeah, we actually had more people at the meeting than I've seen.
Yeah, they had a really
good
turnout.
I didn't make it the previous one, but there were quite a few people there.
It took some cajoling to get them to speak, though. It was kind of funny. They all turned out, and then nobody wanted to speak. So.
Well, and I think a lot of them were there, but they didn't understand how easy it was meant to be for them to come in and talk to a person and get any information on things even they might not even have known they needed or could have access to. A lot of people, I kind of went through this with them a little bit because I had the same issue myself. So you just kind of adapt and you stop doing things that you can't do anymore. And I made a point of making sure they understood that there were things that they would be able to offer them to help them with things that they might not have thought of. So.
Probably the biggest topic that they mostly brought up was transportation.
Again.
Over and over.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yep, so when are you going to have that bus ready?
I got taxi. I got taxi drivers. Problems. I got all sorts of problems right now.
So yeah, it went pretty well. And the Cook Hotel, the meetings. That was the last dedicated open meeting for collecting information for what's the state and federal requirements. Mm-hmm. And then they're actually going to continue, I think, to meet in that bank moving forward because it's got more room for an open meeting anyway.
Yeah, it's a much nicer space.
You know? Yeah.
That's the one up on the highway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, it's a nice meeting space. Our current meeting space in the Human Services building is just, it's very, very,
it's very
cramped.
Tight. Yeah, it's very tight.
It's cozy.
Yeah, it's very cozy.
There you go. If anybody's got a cold, everybody's got a cold. When they're So yeah, that's all I have for that. Alzheimer's and dementia, what is that?
That is the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance workshop will be happening at Southwest Tech on March 15th. That is a collaboration with ADRC, with the Alliance, and with some other, there's several other partners. Social Services, I think, is in on that, and some other partners. So they are doing something a little different this year. They're offering a choice of workshops to attend instead of kind of an all-day thing, so it will be set up a little different. So if you're interested, you can register right here at our front desk. I think we've got a poster out there. They're just getting information out, so we'll have something in the news and views as well on that. So just a heads up for you.
Okay. Position vacancy. Excuse me. Position vacancy.
We lost our bus driver already. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the highway department has been inundated with openings. And they pay a little better than we do. So, yes, Alex has gone to the highway department, stayed within the county, but we're having a plow truck instead of a bus. So we have advertised the position, but we do need your approval before we can hire someone. So.
Okay.
I
second
it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Is that a position that serves all the Grand County?
It does. It does. We run routes 5 days a week, it is a full-time position. So.
So that's basically, yep. Is that still running? Is there a backup driver?
It is. No, we do not have a backup right now. So no, we do not have any services right
that
now.
That pays an hourly thing, mileage. Does it pay or?
It's hourly, yeah. And I think the rate now with the new wage schedule is, which will probably help us a little bit, is 14, 1409 or something. Is it 1409?
An hour. Oh,
yeah.
Do you need a CDL for that?
CDL would pass through the door.
You have to have CDL.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our sub driver was, we do have a sub driver, but both were obviously not available, so we are hoping to get somebody hired for that. We do have some apps, and we do have some qualified apps, so that hasn't happened yet. That doesn't always happen. So.
And they work 5 days
days a week.
Okay, mm-hmm. And how many hours a day?
8 hours. Typically eight. Yeah. Typically,
40 hour
week. We typically are trying to do it within eight. Okay. So.
And full benefits.
Yeah. What's that?
And full benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have benefits. So, yeah, it is. But in the past, it's only been So it's $2 higher about. Yeah. So we're thinking we'll have a few more. So I hope so. Trying to get that on board.
And how far do they go?
Well, we have different routes, and it depends. Yeah. So we do a north route that will go all the way to Muscadet, kind of pick people up. Bring them. Lots of times they want to go to Platteville. Sometimes they go to Richland Center or Prairie. We have a south route that does the same thing. They typically go to Platteville, but they usually like to hit the towns with the Walmarts and Platteville. Of course,
that was the first thing I thought of when you kept saying Platteville.
So when they take somebody, say to a Walmart, they sit there and wait.
Typically, they can do two or three stops, and they'll tell them about when they're going to swing back, depending on where they've got to go. So typically, when they go to the Platteville, probably the main ones they like to hit are Aldi's, Walmart, and the dollar store. Some maybe I'll go to Menards or something or somewhere else, but typically those are the places that they kind of like to go. And some maybe will hit up a pharmacy too, or something like that. Some do eat at the meal site.
So it kind of depends. Well, they got to go into a pharmacy. Obviously, he waits for them to go in there and don't leave them there.
He might swing around if he's got to drop somebody off and just say he'll be back in like 10 minutes or something. Oh, so, yeah, it's kind of, they know when they get on the bus that they're going to have to wait a little bit. So,
sure.
You know, but they typically give people like an hour or so in Walmart, because you can kill an hour in Walmart pretty easily. So
you can.
You probably can't, but
10 minutes is too long.
Some 90-year-old women can. especially those stores are huge, so that platform one is a big one. So, they typically average about 2 to 3 stops is what we tell them, that they got to keep it at that, because otherwise we'd be, you know, we'd be running around all day. We have had a few that have pushed that a little bit.
And what time do they start morning?
What's that?
What time do they start morning?
Typically mornings, yeah. Usually he'll come in about, depending on where the route is, who he's got to pick up. They might come in at 7:30, but typically they don't start picking up till about 8:30 or so, and then bring them in.
And then they're done, 8 hours.
Try to get them home, They've got to get them home, then they've got to come back, clean out the bus, do an inspection, do their reports. So we've focused a lot, especially with Alex, on really making sure that those buses are gone over and cleaned out and looked at. The value we had with him was he was kind of mechanically inclined, so he was catching some things that our other bus driver did not. So I'm kind of hoping we can get somebody back in with some of that ability, because it's just nice to have somebody be able to recognize that. So, we're trying to focus more on that, really doing that inspection and looking at it really well. So, we've come up with some issues. So hopefully we'll have that. That position closes on the 19th, so I'm hoping that we'll have somebody hired pretty quickly on that. INA position restructure is the amended part of this. We were kind of waiting. There was a policy that was before the exec board that I was kind of waiting on, and then I realized it had to go to the county board too, which I didn't realize. So it is going to reflect on this policy. What I would like to do with this is, typically, since I came on board, we've had an INA lead and then 2 INA workers. It's not been a structure that I have been fond of. I don't think it really works that well. I think maybe it would work well if we had a much bigger INA staff. INA is information and assistance. I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk in those acronyms. So I have spoke with the person who is the INA lead, and we have, kind of come to the conclusion that I think we'll eliminate that position and we'll just have 3 INAs. And that way we can, I feel we'll have a better teamwork and team effort going, rather than a two against one, it has not been a structure that has worked here, in my opinion, that well. So I would like to change it and eliminate the lead. What it does, obviously, it does have some salary implications. The funny thing is, with the wage schedule and the policy that went before the exec board, the placement, the policy recommends that somebody that is transferred to a position that is on a lower position than they normally are, would not see a wage decrease. They would be put on the schedule where they either would not see a wage decrease or at the maximum, whichever is less. In her case, it would actually give her an increase this year, slightly. It would amount to about $700 total cost. We've already got that within the budget, because we've been going without an INA for this whole month, so we will have it. In the future, probably within 5 years, it won't be a significant savings, but it'll probably save us about $3,000 over the next 5 years or so. So it's not really a money thing to me. It's more of a team structure. Mm-hmm. I would really like to, we've got a new INA coming in February, and I would just like to kind of divvy out those duties and kind of figure out where people's strengths are and go from there. and have them set it up for the structure that works best for them, is my feeling on that. So my gut tells me it will work a little bit better. So I do need approval, and it does need to go to the executive committee. So the recommendation,
Vicky's got it first,
to take it to the executive committee.
It's a great idea.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Second, Arnold. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? All right.
Thank you.
Let us know how it goes.
We will take it to the executive next month then.
Okay. Approval of vouchers.
All right. Courtney has been going crazy. There's a lot of bills, and are these just the 2017 ones, I believe?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's anything really out of the ordinary. There is one for the taxi. And we'll have more for the taxi.
We will have more for the taxi. The taxi has transmission problems, major. And we switched out vehicles, and the wheel bearing went on the other vehicle. So it's been a fun week for the transportation assistant, let me tell you. We've got a new taxi coming, but not quite yet.
Not fast enough.
We
talked about this before in taxis. Would it be a benefit? No. Use Boscobel as an example. They're there what days?
Wednesdays and Fridays, morning or afternoon. They only do a half day.
Would it be, if a city were to look at somebody in the city starting a taxi service, would that be a benefit to you guys or a hindrance? I don't have anybody, but talked about.
If you did it, then we would get out.
We
wouldn't offer it. Essentially. We don't offer it in Platteville because they run a taxi service.
The days that you aren't there, we hear a lot of people wish there was one.
Now, whether we could expand it, I'd have to investigate that. Because you did share those comments with me. So we would have to look at that. We did notify Iowa County, that we are going to pull out of there probably the end of this year. So we could have an opportunity, but we'd have to see what the cost would be to the county and whether the county board would approve that. Because the 53, the grants for the taxi do not cover the full cost. So there's always
if the city did their own, I should say the city, because it would be an individual or whatever.
If the city's willing...
That would save you guys money. Or would you just be someplace else?
We only can be in areas with a certain population.
Okay.
So that's kind of how Fenimore, Lancaster, and Boscobel got picked, because they're bigger and they don't run taxi services.
Right.
So, but the other thing you could do is you could kick in more money to the taxi program, and then maybe we could expand in those areas too. Because right now, I think you guys, offhand, I'm thinking 3,000. I think you guys kick in 3,000 right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would be if you truly think we want to expand services there, we'd have to look at it. I mean, it would take county board approval as well, because it would be an additional levy.
Well, like I said, the only thing that brings it up is because you're there 2 days a week, and all the other days people are saying, gee, I sure wish we had a taxi service the other days of the week, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wouldn't be beneficial, but we could, I mean, I'd have to look at it. If we take Dodgeville out of the mix and would expand it, I'd have to see what the actual cost, what we'd get for grant, because it's based on one of the monies we get is based on like half your expenses, and then they prorate it, and you have to kick in, and then we have to subsidize it obviously with levy too, because there's not quite enough to run it. But, I mean, we can certainly look at it.
If a private person opened up a taxi service, you'd have to coordinate the subsidies and stuff with that
If a private person did it, they could probably, I think they're eligible for 5311, too, depending on the source. So that, you know, then we would,
so this would
we
be,
would back
would
out. We would run, too.
Wouldn't be the city would be doing it. We're not interested at all.
I'll,
but if an individual wanted to go
yeah.
to that, I mean, they're on their own,
yeah.
naturally.
Yeah. You know?
But, yeah.
We just want to make sure that the cost works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll double check that. I think we wouldn't duplicate services. Do you know for sure on that, Bob?
Well, I wouldn't think you would.
No.
I don't think it would allow
us to duplicate.
But you could subsidize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, we could potentially even, I didn't think about that, we could even potentially contract with somebody to do it too.
Great. Yeah, so. Make sure that they're providing the services.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be a potential too. So the next 5311, the grant is in for this year.
Right, but sure.
But we could certainly look at it,
okay.
talk about it over the next year to see if it might be worthwhile to do.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I don't think we need. I don't. Oh, yeah, we do need a motion for vouchers.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to
approve vouchers. Second.
I'll second it.
Dave. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Financial report.
Financial report. Again, I don't think we've got anything too much. Nancy's working on end of the year. Service management looks a little underspent, but we did transfer some BenSpec. We have the ability to take some BenSpec expenses out of there, the elderly benefits. So we are kind of adjusting that a little bit. Meals are okay.
Which one are you looking at?
So we are. I'm not looking at the revenue. I'm looking at the finances, the expense part. So I don't think we're sitting bad at all. We certainly will have a little bit of money probably left in a couple accounts. We were able to take about 240 hours, I think, of the BenSpec wages and put into ADRC. I usually write that into the ADRC. It's the benefit specialist. I usually write it into the ADRC budget, but we kind of play it by ear to see if we're going to have money there. And then that frees up, by doing that, we can free up some levy out of that. Our public awareness funds we cannot spend because it has to be on evidence-based programs, and we don't have anybody trained. And they have not every training that they've gotten close that I've had staff sign up for, they've canceled. So the expenses that we've got out of here have been with stepping on, but we are very limited in what we can spend those dollars on, so that is an issue. Specialized, we are waiting. We look like we're overspent. We are waiting on some reimbursement. I do think we are going to have to look at specialized at that specialized service and possibly raise our rates there, though, because we're cutting those pretty close anymore. And we've had a lot more requests, so I think we're going to have to probably maybe look at that and raise the rates. Taxis were good. And you'll see a final report, too. So the other thing would be is ADRC. We did have money in that. We look like we're overspent, but some of that's because we have regional money available to us that will cover that. We had some money left over because we've had Jess gone for a month and we had some other insurance changes, things like that, that gave us some additional dollars. So we did work to spend that out. And then we worked with regional office because they also had some additional dollars to spend that out. So we've gotten... this here, we were actually able to purchase a few things ahead for the new office. So we purchased some conference room tables and some chairs, and some office chairs that will go for the new office, but we can use some of that right now. This monitor we are going to put up in the wall. It's supposed to go up this afternoon. I really wanted it up this morning, but it didn't work. We purchased that. We purchased some billboards. So I don't know if you've been about, but the billboards are up and they look really good. You should have seen one coming into Fenimore today. There's one by Fenimore, one by Montfort, one by Dickeyville on the main highway, I think, and one more, and I can't think where that one's at. So what else did we get? Oh, we got the hearing loop for both our waiting room and the shared conference room in the new building. We were able to do that ahead of too. So that will free up some levy too. So we'll have some of those expenses. Yep, and the projectors. So we were trying to, you know, come up with things that would save us some money for 2018. So.
There will always be things that you think of later.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so we were just trying to, you know, we had to be careful because we, you know, they don't let you spend out too far ahead, but with the new building, they did let us do some of that. So that was kind of nice, and then that frees up some taxpayer money, so, which is always a good thing. So other than that, those will probably be reflected in the next set.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's really all I have on finances. I think we'll be sitting fine by the time we're done.
Okay. And reports.
Oh, we need
we
a...
Do we need a what approval for that?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. I'll second.
All right. In favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
All right. And then now we're on to reports.
Yeah.
Nutrition Strategic Planning Committee report. Do you want to give that one or do you want me to?
I just seen you do it. I've been talking a lot.
We're actually doing really well. We had laid out a schedule to try to complete planning by the end of January, and we are right on, if not just a hair ahead of that schedule. We have another meeting on Monday, and then our final meeting will be on the 29th, and I will be putting together the roadmap and asking for the committee's final approval on that roadmap by the end of the month. All right, I think it's the 3rd. Excuse me. I have to look at the calendar quick. 2nd. So the 29th will be our last meeting. And then I should have everything together and to them for final approval on the 2nd. We're looking at meeting once a month after this, just for steering oversight. And we'll be looking at starting the actual efforts and projects on the roadmap as soon as we possibly can. I believe Ruth will probably be leading the program moving forward and helping identify the team members and getting everybody together and executing those efforts.
He's been a tough taskmaster.
No, I've learned a lot.
It's been really good. It's been excellent. So,
yeah.
I think we've all learned a lot. So, it's been very good.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We'll have a change management plan. So, one of the things that I had talked about when we first introduced the planning was that it's going to be a living document. It's not a 3-year, don't look at it again for the next 3 years. It's if a trigger arises that requires a change, a new trend or a budget change or, you know, whatever, that change management plan will describe all that and how to trigger a new review of the plan, make adjustments for it moving forward on the roadmap, and then moving forward. I also offered to go over a couple pieces of software that might be required moving forward so that Ruth or whoever else would be running an effort has the tools at their disposal to make sure that things are executed properly. And that's it. Communications plan.
We're using lean principles. Did you mention lean?
Would you like?
We want to make sure we mention lean. So
how about?
Joyce won't like it if I don't. But
hold on. Let me do this. Give me just a second. I will read off
yes.
the vision and mission statements that they came up with. Now, these the program obviously has objectives laid out by the state. Those fed into the vision and mission. The group came up with a vision of to be a well-known, trusted, efficient, and easily accessible resource for older adults to obtain meals in Grant County. That's what they want to be moving forward. Long-term mission that matches that, what they're going to be doing when they are this, is developing a well-trained staff workforce, well-staffed workforce, to serve eligible individuals when and how they would like to be served while utilizing a compliant, lean program or culture. Short term, because you can't get all that done in 1 year, this goes up to 18 months to 2 years, develop and continually improve processes that will ensure compliance, which is an issue at the moment, create needed metrics so that they can look at the overall and make adjustments moving forward after they have the metrics that they need, and then providing consistent messaging to make sure that not only are the staff all on the same page, but individuals who are utilizing the services and obtaining meals understand the parameters and maybe hopefully have less questions for the folks that are on-site managers and so on. Excuse me. And then the rest of it, they have high-level objectives, tentative right now. This is actually where we left off. Developing the needed processes, obviously, doing training. So basically, that will be an ongoing training, ongoing communication, and then outreach to make sure that the collaboration with other entities happens on a regular basis. The details for that have yet to be fleshed out. That's the next couple of things we have. And that's as much as I can talk about that.
It's good.
All right. ADRC Grant County Director's Report. Your turn.
All right. Well, some of you are aware of this, some of you are not. We did have a public hearing on December 4th for our 8521 grant, which is basically our bus transportation, our volunteer driver escort transportation, our specialized wheelchair transport, and a little bit of taxi comes out of that. So prior to that, actually Bob got the letter. I never did get the letter, he forwarded it on to the rest of us about from the Platteville Commission on Aging and Platteville Area Senior Services, requesting that they be allocated 16% of our 8521 grant. Hey, Greg.
Meeting start at 9? Yes. Did it really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry. Which was $23,281 that they wanted to be allocated. Part of the reason they were asking for that is they no longer have their bus and their funds have been cut. What they didn't explain a whole lot of, I thought, was the fact that we'd been collaborating with them out of 8521 to provide them an extra day of service over there with them using their own bus. We were reimbursing. However, they traded in their bus and bought a non-accessible van, which took them right out of our 8521 grant. I literally called DOT when I found out to make sure and had a written response from them that they were in agreement that it wasn't anything. Grant funds would not be used for it. They hadn't, if they'd just talked to us sooner, but they didn't. So because of that, they did not have transportation, and they had to put rails on the van that they got, and the residents over there that were using the transportation have not liked the van. It's caused them some problems. So they were looking for additional monies to provide some type of transportation, or they suggested, too, we could just give them a bus. So. Bob was at that meeting. Mary Lou was at that meeting. I was at that meeting. I don't believe any of us felt that we would give them a bus, nor did
thought you had one you wanted to get rid of.
I have a taxi now. That technically is accessible. It just doesn't run. You can get in it, but you... So I did point out to them that, you know, with the fact that we do run bus routes 5 days a week and one day a week is dedicated to in-town Platteville residents, technically they're already receiving 20% of our services, of bus services. I also pointed out to them, I don't think I put it in here, that, you know, that 8521 does not just cover bus. It does cover our volunteer driver escort program, our specialized. And then we did go over some numbers from some of the other towns, because we actually have some towns and cities that actually have a higher concentration of elderly than Platteville does. So those were kind of the justifications for not doing that. You know, while we'd like to be able to help everybody, and we certainly want to get people to the meal site, we just simply can't, you know, put all our resources in Platteville just because they're bigger either. There are numerous other resources in Platteville, you know. So anyway, that's how that went. So the grants were submitted. We did not include that within the grant. But as I said, our routes do go to Platteville quite a bit, and we still have one dedicated day there. So it remained that way. Other than that, Gray's Nursing Home closed in Platteville. That was... It's a small nursing home, but it had, I think, 9 or 11 residents.
Did you say have 20 beds at one time?
It did have more beds, but at the time that they closed, I think it was either 9 or 11.
Oh, okay.
So the state did notify us. We are required when a nursing home closed to participate in those relocation meetings. They can't actually close until everybody is successfully relocated.
Mm-hmm. Something else looking to replace it?
Not at this point. Uh-huh. Not at this point. I don't think so. But we were able to, all the residents were relocated. So let's see. I did notify Sun Program that we will end meals by the end of May. And they'll need to get that worked out. I also did notify Iowa County Human Services and the Dodgeville mayor that we will probably not be providing taxi services after 2018. I also notified them that due to our new wage scale, they're probably going to have to kick in some more money, or we're going to have to provide less days because we probably won't have enough. The only thing there is we'll probably still run fairly even because, especially right now, our driver is off. We are putting a sub in there right now, but we typically have, you know, we typically have some snow days and things that
don't cost us money.
What's
the reason
that
we're not enough?
The reason from this board has been is we just need to kind of keep services in Grant County, and why are we providing it in Iowa County?
But it was, when it was started, it was in theory a revenue generator for Grant County, but it really never was. It's costing us money.
It really diverts some of our grant funds there.
That's why we're asking those other questions.
Yeah.
Why are we
supporting?
We as a board did a resolution on that.
I've been talking to Tom since I got here, that because pretty much since I've been here, since Dan got on the board, there's been talk as to why we are providing this. And so, you know, it didn't come as a shock to Tom. The only thing I wanted to give them a heads up is they need to provide a letter to the state of to the DOT. I think it's due in April, notifying them of their intent to apply for funding for the following year. So I wanted to make sure that they had enough time to get what they needed done for that. So if they intend to. They have already, Iowa County Human Services has already gotten a 5310 van, which is an accessible van like we have, to provide some service to Mineral Point, because there's been some requests to expand the taxi service, and obviously we're not going to expand.
Yeah, sure.
So they're already kind of positioning themselves to do it, so I don't think it'll be too big of an issue. I talked to you about Alex. Julie Bumgardner has been hired as a Fenimore Meal Site Manager. Julie's been a sub for us for a long time, and she just started this week. I was busy finishing up a bit. We had to get evaluations all done. Obviously, we have to do them every year, but I had a few that needed to be finished up in December. Strategic Plan Committee. Ken Thompson retired. We did hire Kevin Horsfall as the food van driver. So we've got that position filled. I'm starting to work on civil rights compliance plan, which is always a headache. And thank gosh I don't have to do it for the county. And the annual report. We already talked about the purchasing that we did. We did get the new taxi has been ordered. We did apply for that 5310 grant a really, really, really long time ago, if you remember. I think it was actually back in 16, I think, when we applied for it. I was really hoping that the taxi would live until the new one came, but it did not. So we will have to make some decisions on what we're going to do with that, too, whether we want to stick any money into it or I'll probably talk about it next month a little bit. And then the mobility study by Economic Development for Transportation was complete. I think they are going to come out and do a formal presentation either to this board or the county. I'm not sure which way they're going on that yet. I think we have to decide. So I did just put kind of what their recommendations were, which is, you know, obviously stuff we already knew, provide accessible rides, provide on-demand, looking at those smaller vehicles to make them more efficient because those bigger vehicles just make it a problem when you need a CDL driver. And then recommendations for regional coordination were standardizing policies, data collection, accounting for all costs, which I think we are doing. I've been working on that for the last couple of years. A lot of times the transportation programs, because of the grant funding, people are not including all of their admin costs in those and some of their others. And we have been, I've worked with Nancy the last couple of years trying to make sure that, you know, we're allocating telephone, rent, my time, everybody's in there. So I think we've got that pretty well. Coordinating rates with the MCOs, which are the managed care organizations that run family care. They contract with us for our volunteer driver escort rides. There was some discussion by the group that the new MCO that was coming in, we're going to have three now. We have Inclusa, which was Continuous, which was Community Link Inc., which was Southwest Alliance. And it's been everything. And then we have Care Wisconsin. Now we're going to have My Choice. And apparently, I couldn't make the transportation meeting, but apparently they had come and offered 23 cents a mile as a reimbursement. Yeah. We don't do anything. We do the IRS rate. Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. I don't think we're going to have any drivers willing, you know, to do it for 23 cents a mile. So. I think they were told good luck with that, but they're probably not going to find that, so... looking at coordinating more training across the region, looking at coordinating more volunteer drivers and coordinating coverage. I don't know if any of that, I mean, some of this is really kind of a pipe dream because, you know, they're still all individual counties and we're not all willing to give our drivers away. So the only thing that's not on here that I wanted to bring up, if you'll just hit a bullet point, is Mom's Meals. We've gotten some correspondence and... about some other counties using Mom's Meals to get to people in isolated areas that we can't get a driver, volunteer driver to. And so we are getting some more information, and we'll probably talk to you about it in the future. But we've actually found it, I think, to be fairly economical. So that is something that we might be looking at.
I'm probably going to the
construction meeting.
You might want to give Greg your updates.
Yes. I will. He doesn't have anything.
I didn't get anything in the mail.
You didn't?
No, that's why I had this letter from in December.
Yeah,
happy holidays. The next meeting will be January 17th, so I took a shot at 10 o'clock.
Huh. We'll have to, every once in a while, we have one. Dave used to have issues.
Yes, yeah. But that got cleared up.
You got yours cleared up.
Yeah, I got highlighted.
I don't know where yours went.
I got up at 7 this morning and went, Do we have a 10 o'clock or is it not?
It's always 9. It's the board it's
I looked in my emails to see if maybe there was something there.
It's always
9.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, you want to have him sign that and then there's information under there.
So, so
the mom's meals. Yeah, that's fine. The mom's meals are contracting with some of the counties and they ship right to the person's home. So one of our biggest issues, because the county is so big, is that we can't get volunteer drivers to some of these really outlying areas. So we are, you know, this is a possibility. So once we get a little more information, they said more information will be coming. We didn't have it as of this morning yet. So we'll be talking about it.
I was just going to say, with Western Wisconsin Cares, when we had people that out in remote areas and that, we used mom's meals and people were satisfied with them and they were reasonable.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it
and
well.
We thought they would be too cost prohibitive for us to contract with, but they're really not. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they take the meal site manager out of the equation, so we don't have those expenses.
Right.
So, and then if they do a donation, we might come out okay. So, and we would be able to provide more meals to more people. So,
the worst
yeah,
part
something
is
to look
the
at.
Packaging with it. There's a lot of waste in packaging with
there
it.
There is.
Keep them,
yeah.
They were frozen and they were kept cold. And
yeah, that's that is
that the downside.
Yeah, and there would be some training on educating people on how to deal with that packaging.
Right.
But
do they come with
a gel type
stuff?
Of thing?
Well, I mean, those are instruction sheet on the inside.
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. They've gone a long way in trying to educate people on that too. But I mean, it's an opportunity. We refer people to them that we can't get at, but most people won't do it because for them it's cost prohibitive because we're not offering, you know. But if we actually contract with Mom's Meals directly, then we could offer them the $350. And I think then more people would be more interested in it, and it would be, you know, something they could afford. So, because right now they can't afford that, you know, $7 or $8. So,
yes, the opportunities maybe to scale the contract so the more meals that are out, the cheaper they get.
Potentially, we haven't even seen. They're going to send us some potential templates that they've done with other counties in the past. But other counties have been pretty satisfied with them. So, I just think it's a great possibility. Anyway,
yeah. Do you have problems with volunteer drivers? I mean, are there available to you?
We always need them. Yeah, we always need them.
A big issue as far as the gaps for where we want to go with the program itself. We have identified that as one of them.
And we've got areas, you know, we've got just different areas, little burgs that we've got all around the county. The county's so large that we can't even get out to. Typically, our volunteer drivers only drive within the city limits for the most part. So.
Oh, I see.
So. And, Mr. Wetter, I did check with the fact that if somebody comes over the county lines, there isn't anything that is allowed. We are not, we cannot turn someone away. So I did check on that. We don't have very many, but we do have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I did check on the regs on that just to make sure.
But do they, does that other county reimburse you?
They do not, nor do they have to. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
So it's basically if that's where their closest thing is.
Yeah.
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 That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a little, you know, the problem is for us is we've got a lot of counties bordering us, so we've got.
So did Richland County and some of those, are they stopping their program?
I have not heard that they are at this point, no. They had talked about pulling it all to Richland Center, but I'm not even sure that that's passed at this point. So I know they're still, I mean, they've got issues.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they've got some financial issues there big time.
Okay.
And they wanted to pull all of their nutrition program just to Richland Center, which would be bad.
Yeah.
So that's what I have.
We have program reports.
Program reports are in your packets. I think they're at the bottom. They're right at the end of the finance reports, I think. Elder benefits are probably still not in there yet. They've got to the, they do have them, I guess, through November. They're still working on December. Our information and assistance contacts have been up for two people. In fact, we've got one out sick today, and I made a phone call. We are asking other counties for help right now to do some of our intake for that, because this one shows 415. But that's for two people. They've been pretty much overwhelmed with screens and calls. And typically right after Christmas is everybody's been home and visited their parents, and now they're worried that their parents are failing and they need services, and so they start calling. So I have requested some help with information and assistance, because we do have a new person coming on board February 1st. She won't be up and running for at least a month after that. There's a lot of training involved in that before they can even really get out there. So we are going to need some help. So I'm actually hoping to maybe get somebody in-house. But right now we've got the ability to do a warm transfer if somebody calls in to Iowa County, and they can help. So that's what we're doing today. Other than that, our caregiver respite services have been going well too. We've actually got quite a few number of hours in December for people. Transportation, obviously, you'll see a little bit down just because of our bus situation. And just hope that, like, the other wheel doesn't fall off the other taxis or the other vehicle. So. And our taxi driver in Dodgeville fell, and so we've got a sub in there, too. So it has been a bad, bad 2 weeks for transportation around here. nutrition, again, I think our overall numbers for the year are down somewhat. But part of that is going to be, too, is that we have tightened up with compliance and getting people who were supposed to be on short-term care for meal services off if they're no longer eligible. So that kind of got cut off, I see.
Is that representative of the people that were cut off the program? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Might be. It's classical.
There you go.
So we are trying to tighten that up, because we have had some people get on because they break a wrist or something for, you know, they need meals for 4 weeks, and then they find it really convenient, and 6 months later they're like, well, I'm still getting them, and I'm not going to say anything different, even though I'm perfectly capable. Well, technically, once they're not homebound, we shouldn't be providing them meals. So, and I understand the convenience, because when it's this full, I want somebody to bring me a meal too. So. So, we did close the meal site
Monday,
yeah, because of the weather, but that is the only closing we've had this year, so we've actually been pretty lucky there.
We haven't had a fraction of the snow we normally have.
No, we have not, which is good. Good, good, good. So, any questions? Alrighty.
Do we need to have a motion to adjourn?
So be it.
Steve and Arnold, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed to going home?
Short meeting.
Yeah!
Like those guys,
huh? Especially compared to how the Monday.
Well, I don't know where your mail packet went to, Greg, but every once in a while we do have one that goes astray, so.
I think if we all come in about 10 o'clock,
be good.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. No, because I'd be sitting here waiting for y'all, getting very